Greetings, everyone. This is Kathy Bornarth, the president of the NACJW, and I'd like to welcome you to the 2015 National Association of Christian Journal Writers Journaling Conference, Your Path to a Stronger Spiritual, Personal, and Business Life. My guest today is Deborah Haddix, and Deborah is a board-certified advanced Christian life coach, speaker, and writer whose passion is to empower women to embrace God's design for their life and their relationships. She has been journaling for her own spiritual growth for many years, and since becoming a grandmother has discovered several ways to incorporate this valuable discipline into that very special role. Deborah is the author of Praying with Purpose, Helping Equip Your Grandchildren to Fast in the Faith. The book is a resource for grandparents and shares several creative journaling techniques. And I can definitely attest to this. I've read her book, and it's fantastic. So welcome, Deborah.
Well, thank you, Kathy. It's good to be here.
Good. I'm glad. So everything okay there? Is the weather okay? I know we've had some bad weather here lately.
You know, it's been frigidly cold all last week. There was no school anywhere in the area, and that's something for the Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
But we're warming up just a little bit.
Yay, I'm looking forward to some warm weather. So, okay, well, Deborah is going to share how to pray in color for your grandchildren and children. What a fantastic concept this is, and probably something that's pretty new to most people listening. So I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm sure our guests are also. So I'm just going to jump right in, Deborah. Is that okay with some questions?
That's great. Sure.
Okay. So, Deborah, in your book, Praying with Purpose, Helping Equip Your Grandchildren to Stand Fast in the Faith, you offer suggestions on several ways to journal your prayers for your children and grandchildren. And one of those ways is praying in color. So can you just tell us a little bit about this whole concept of praying in color?
I'd love to. It's something that I discovered a couple of years ago, I guess, and have just absolutely fallen in love with it. I was introduced to it. You know how God will bring something to you, and then he brings it back and brings it back. So I heard about it at a conference. The title came back, and the concept came back across my path a couple of times. And then I actually got to participate in a workshop on a day where I attended a session on creative prayer, and I actually got to experience this and just absolutely fell in love with it. It's based on Praying in Color, Drawing a New Path to God, which is written by Sybil Macbeth. And it's a method of praying that reaches some of us who maybe struggle all the time or maybe even just part of the time in our prayer life. I don't know about you. I know sometimes I fall victim to not knowing what to pray or feeling my prayers are kind of mechanical. There's really no life or originality in them. I'm just kind of doing the same old, same old. I also am terribly afflicted with distraction and wandering thoughts. I can sit down to pray, and before I know it, my mind's thinking about grocery lists or what I've got to do later in the day. And I was intrigued by this concept because the whole idea behind it is that you're drawing, you're keeping a pencil moving the entire time you pray. And so the idea is if you're keeping that pencil moving, it's helping keep your brain engaged in the activity, in the actual prayer, and you're not quite as likely to have your mind wander off and stray.
Right. So it's really a way to keep you focused. It helps keep
Yes. It helps keep the focus. It also helps, you know, those people who maybe feel mechanical sometimes or not sure what they pray. Because it's visual, and the whole concept is while you're keeping that pencil moving, you are talking to God, or you're just sitting. You don't even have to talk. You're just sitting with God. You're sitting with that grandchild or that person that you're praying for, and you're thinking about them. And so sometimes words aren't even necessary. And so it's just something totally different, but it also kind of gets you out of that box of, I have to say the right words. I have to know what to say. Yeah. All those different roadblocks that we have.
Yeah. So, yes, like just enjoying that time, right?
Yes, to be
present. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're present with God. You're present, you know, the grandchild, the child, whoever it is you're praying for is not physically there with you, but it's a time for you to sit and just be with them, think mm-hmm. on them and whatever thoughts it is. If you're praying intercession for them, you're thinking about them and their emotions and just being with them through whatever it is that you're praying for. And when we first hear that title, praying in color, and we hear about pencils and visuals, sometimes we think, oh, I've got to be an artist. And I will tell you right up front, art is not my strong suit. I have a brother who's a professional artist, and he got all of the art genes in the family. But you don't have to be good at art. You don't have to have any art skill. It's just a precious time to sit with God during that prayer. And then when you're finished, you have this finished prayer that's a visual for you and a reminder that you can do so many things with afterwards.
It just sounds wonderful. And I know that one of the things, you know, one thing that would kind of stop me is exactly what you said. Like, do I have to be an artist? Do I have to, you know, be good at this, at drawing? And if you don't have to do that, then I'm all on board. Because I think the thing is, too, I think sometimes just the idea of coloring kind of takes us back and kind of opens us up to just letting things go. Just let me go and be, you know, and let whatever is inside of me come out.
It's so freeing. It kind of takes you back to that childhood, you know, of just being able to sit with colors and just, like you said, let the colors come out, just express whatever's inside. It's great in that taking you back, it kind of releases you and takes some of those adult pressures and things off that are weighing on you during your prayer time also, and letting you just relax and be still with God, which is so hard for many of us.
Yeah, and I really do think that that's what God wants. He wants us to relax. He doesn't want us to be rigid and worried about every last word that we're going to say. So what a nice way to kind of, like you said, relax into, just press into God like this.
Right. Mm.
So now let me see. Now I understand that in her book, Sybil Macbeth discusses the use of praying in color as one prays prayers of intercession and adoration. And she also suggests, I think, that praying in color can be used for prayers of petition and thanksgiving and confession. Can you tell us how you've been using it to pray for your grandchildren and your children?
Absolutely. She does, in her book, she does a fabulous job of walking you through using this process as you pray prayers of intercession for a group of people or one person, or pray prayers of adoration to God, praying his names and his attributes. It's a lovely book, so full of different ways that you can use it. And as I first learned this method, you know, I came away and practiced it in those ways. Prayers of intercession, prayers of adoration. It's just great for praying the names and attributes of God. But as I thought about it and thought about other areas of prayer in my life, I thought, boy, what a great way to pray for my grandkids. We could take this model and use it for any type of prayer that we wanted to do. It's certainly not limited. So the concept of using it to pray for your children, your grandchildren, basically, it's the same thing. I don't change a whole lot from her method. You need very basic materials. You need something to draw on. So a sheet of computer paper, a sketchbook. If you're a journaler and you have journals around and you like to do your praying in journals, that would certainly work. And then you need something to do the coloring, the praying with. So color markers, color pencils. I like to, in addition to the color pencils, in the paper, I like to have a fine tip black pen, because sometimes I do put words or outlines on my prayers, and so any type of fine line Sharpie or Micron pen, or just a roller gel pen, something that's going to have kind of a fine tip would work best. Those are the only physical materials. The only other thing you actually need is to know some doodling. And so if you know how to make a dot or a circle or draw a line or a triangle, you're set to go, because that is all you need to do. Again, no fancy artwork.
Right.
No, I love the fact that there are no rules, because which seems strange, because I'm definitely a rule follower and I like direction guides and step-by-step things, but in this instance where it's kind of art related and I'm not an artist and they're telling me all I need is doodles, I love the fact that there's no rules and it's okay if all that's on my paper is some squiggles and some dots. It's nice to know, you know, that I don't have to follow something, since I'm not capable of doing these very intricate art patterns or drawings. The only other things I suggest, whether you're using it to pray for your grandkids or your kids or for any other method, is to definitely have a time and a place, which is good for any type of prayer that you're doing. For instance, in the summer, I love to sit out on my patio. Great place to sit and color. In the wintertime, you'll probably find me sitting in my sewing room, because that's where all my pencils and all those things are. And time, I recommend that there's, you know, a specific time you carve out, just again, as in any kind of prayer, whether you're doing it once a week or you're a morning person or an evening person, but there's no time limit. If you only have 5 or 10 minutes, you can do a praying in color in 5 or 10 minutes. And sometimes 10 minutes is all I have. Other times, when my schedule's not quite so tight and I have that luxury, I might sit and work on one for, you know, a half an hour or something. So knowing that there's no rules and there's no specific time frame and stuff, I think is really helpful for people.
Yeah, I agree. That it's once again brings it back to that, you know, that freedom that, okay, yes, I can take whatever time I need. But having that specific time, like you said, just like we did with prayers, if we're doing morning devotions or evening devotions, this is the time that I'm going to use. But doing it, you know, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever works best, I really like that idea.
Right. Now, praying in color is not some, you know, I don't pray praying in color every time I pray. It's not the only method I use. I'll mix it up and journal my prayers or do traditional prayers. But I have 8, almost 9 grandchildren, and I do pray in color for them from time to time. And so as far as time goes, you know, I might designate Monday morning or Monday of this week is going to be my week that I concentrate my prayers on this specific grandchild. And so Monday morning, I'm going to do praying in color for her. And then the next Monday, I'll go to a different child. And so that right there is going to take me 8 or 9 Mondays to do one for each one.
Now, this might
so
be a
as far as time, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this might be a little out of context here, but so I'm just wondering now, do you share these with the grandchildren then?
I do. You don't have to. We can talk about some of the things you can do with the prayer at the end, but one of the things is definitely to share them. The very first time I prayed in color for each of my grandkids, when I finished, I took the finished prayer and hung it on my refrigerator and hung it there for 3 or 4 days, and that way it served as a visual reminder to my husband and I every time we got in that refrigerator or past that refrigerator to lift that grandchild up. And there's specifics on the prayer, which we can talk about in a minute, but it also gave me specifics to pray for that grandchild so that I wasn't just walking past the refrigerator going, oh, and God bless Belle and help her have a good day, but specific things to lift up for her. And then after that, 2 or 3 days, whatever time I left it up on the refrigerator, I took it down and folded it up and wrote a little handwritten note on a card and just, you know, shared with my grandchild, you know, this is a prayer that Grandma just prayed for you. And I'm sending it to you just as a reminder that you know Grandma is always praying for you, or Grandma and Grandpa are always praying for you. And when you see it, it will remind you that someone is always praying for you. And just quick little note, mailed it off to them, and I have been to visit each one since, and they're either, those prayers are either hanging in their bedroom on a wall, or they're tucked in the Bible that they carry and that they read, so that they're always seeing this reminder, this visual, that someone values prayer and values them enough to lift them up in prayer. And it's just another way to build that relationship with your grandkids and to model for them that prayer life that we hope that they develop.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Deborah, how wonderful. Your grandchildren are so blessed to have you. Wow.
Wow. I am blessed to have them. But we were talking about how to do it, how to pray, pray in color for your grandkids. So the tweaking, the way that it's kind of been set up, the way I've done it, and of course you can do it any way you want because there are no rules. But when Sybil, according to her book and the things that I've heard her share, when she sits down, she basically just sits down with that writing utensil, her color pencils, and her paper, and she just spends time with God, spends time with that person, and just lets God bring to mind things to pray about, or just sits quietly. I do that, but more often than not, when I sit down to pray in color for my grandkids, I also have some type of prayer resource laying there on the table with me, because I want to pray very specifically for my grandchildren as they're growing up. And so I like having that resource laying there for me. Not everybody needs that, but I find it valuable. And you can find resource sheets, things to pray specifically for your children or your grandchildren or your husband or whoever, all over the internet. But I've collected several for kids and grandkids. And they're in the back of the book that you were talking about, the Praying with Purpose. So I'll pull one of those out. And then I sit down, and somewhere on my piece of paper, generally in the middle, but again, no rules, doesn't have to be the middle of the paper, I will write the grandchild's name with my color pencil. And for a few minutes, I will just invite God into my prayer. I will invite him to be there with me. I will thank him for that specific grandchild, think of attributes that are special and unique to that grandchild, and just thank God for those. And the time that I'm doing that, I'm keeping my pencil moving. So I've written the child's name, and I'm coloring it, I'm drawing a shape around it, or putting little dots and squiggles around it, just embellishing that name as I'm lifting up that child, and I'm inviting God into the prayer. And that can, again, no time frames, you know, a minute or two, 3 minutes, you feel the Lord moving you on, then you're ready to move on. And I will take my eyes at that point and just scan whichever resource sheet I have chosen for that day. And I'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. I know the grandchildren pretty well. Holy Spirit knows them even better. I just kind of glance, and my eyes will fall on one of the characteristics, one of the specifics on that sheet, and I'll know that that's something I need to pray for that child. And so I will take that characteristic or that trait or that specific need, and I will add it to the paper. I'll just go off to the side somewhere on the paper, write out that specific thing or draw a symbol for it, and again, 2 or 3 minutes, I'm embellishing and I'm decorating that particular trait. Perhaps I'm praying that they be trustworthy. And so I'd write that word trustworthy on the paper. Again, I would decorate it, color it, put shapes around it, draw arrows to it, whatever, to keep my pencil going. If it's an older grandchild, sometimes I might write the scripture reference because it's generally right there on the resource sheet. I might write that right by the word so that that grandchild, if I'm going to mail it to them, can go to the scriptures and look up where that verse is. But again, you know, you can do words, you can do verses. Again, it's however the spirit leads you, however your personality is or your mood or attack for the day, there can be absolutely no words on that paper. There can be keywords and characteristics and a lot of artwork. There can be scriptures, whatever you want to do. But this process just goes on, Kathy. You know, you take one attribute or characteristic, pray, keep that pencil moving while you're praying about that characteristic. And when you feel that the Holy Spirit is leading you on, then you move to the next characteristic and you repeat the process. And for as long as you have time, if you've got 10 minutes, you may pray two or three characteristics that day. If you've got 30 minutes, you may pray five or six. So it's totally up to the time you have and how the Spirit leads you.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And now you say, you talked about the resource sheets. So you said you could find those resource sheets in your book, Praying
Yes.
with Purpose. And I know that probably when we get to the end of our interview today, you're going to maybe talk a little bit about how some people can get some of the resources from your website, too. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Okay. You can find them all over the place. We're trying to make it very convenient. If somebody wants to look them up, some people like to search things out, and if they want to look them up on the Internet and find them themselves, it's a great way to draw things around. But for some of us who are just way too busy to do that, we're trying to offer them in several different ways that you can get them very easily and have them as a resource and ready to go. Yes.
That's great. That's great. Okay. So now, Deborah, you state that praying in color is both process and product. So you've
yes.
taken us through the process. Now can you tell us about the product part, the product piece?
I would love to. We alluded to it a little bit before. Now we can talk about it a little more because there's so many things you can do with the actual product when you're finished. I've come to, with my love of journaling and my history of journaling, I kind of look at praying in color as doodle journal praying. I'm still journaling my prayers, but I'm doing it with doodles instead of words, which means it's a form of journaling that has some art components. It's very visual, both during the process, but absolutely the product. When you're finished, you have a piece of art or you have a visual prayer that you have just prayed, a representation of your time spent with God and praying for that person. And that itself helps us in so many ways. We're clarifying our feelings, just as when we journal with words about our role of being a parent or a grandparent. We're improving our relationship with the grandchild, their parents perhaps. I've had people come back and share how they have started praying in color for their grandchild, and it's also affected their relationship with the grandchild's parents. So we get all those benefits of journaling when we do this, and then we get that benefit of that finished product. And there are so many things. People can probably come up with even more things that you can do with that finished product. But if you're a journaler, and you like, one of the things that you hold dear about journaling is that you have that journal of your recorded prayers, and so you have that history of spending time with God and how God has moved in your family. You, of course, could do that with your praying in color. Just buy a sketchbook or a journal with blank pages rather than the line pages. You could even do it on the line, but you would have a journal of your praying in color prayers also that you could go back and look at and have that personal record of time with God or that personal family history. You can also take the prayers and just kind of lay them aside for a day or two, and you could come back in your prayer time a couple of days later and pray over that prayer again, just using it as a prompt, a visual prompt instead of a written prompt. You could add to it. There's nothing that says you can't haul those pencils back out. And as you pray over it a second time, add things that the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind since then, add them into the prayer so they can be, you know, an add-on thing that you can work on over time. You can fold them up when you're finished and put them in your purse or your computer bag or your Bible. You can carry them with you. And then when you open your purse, you know, when you go to the store to pay and you see it laying in there, just a quick little reminder, there's that visual to pray for that grandchild again. Hang it on the refrigerator, bathroom mirror, and use it as a reminder to you to lift that grandchild or that child up again in prayer. Or then, as I did, and I don't mail their prayers to them every time, but from time to time, you know, I think taking it down, putting a note with it, and mailing it to the person that you prayed for is just precious. Because not only then, you know, are you remembering to pray for them, but they know it. And I think sometimes that's just so necessary for our children and our grandchildren to know how valuable they are, that someone is lifting them up in prayer.
Oh, I agree. I agree. These have been just some wonderful ideas, Deborah. Just fantastic. And I know that it, now before we end our session, I really would like you to share briefly, if you could, what you believe is or are the most important takeaways about praying in color for your children and your grandchildren. What's most important? What do we definitely need to know?
You know, I think all of us who are listening to the conference sessions, I think all or most of us, we know the value of prayer. We know how valuable and important it is. What a wonderful resource that God has given us in prayer. We know many of the benefits and those things, you know, like it's one of the best and greatest investments we can make into the lives of other, and that we're called and it's our responsibility to do it. I think most of us understand the eternal effect that our prayers have on the lives of those we're praying for. As grandparents and parents, I think we know that prayer helps us to be more involved in the lives of our children and grandchildren. It makes us more in tune to what's going on in their lives. We're listening intentionally if we intend to pray for them. And so we have that vehicle through prayer to get to know them better. But even though we know all these things, in all honesty, life still can get in our way. And even though we know it's important, I know many of us and many of the people that we try to come alongside and help find it difficult at times to have that consistent and effective prayer life. Mm-hmm. Even knowing the importance, our lives are busy, and sometimes it's just hard for us to stop and take the time we need to be still and be quiet and come away. Sometimes we just, if we're in that period where we're thinking our prayers are mechanical, we may put off praying because we're not feeling that it's being very effective, because we feel like we're just routinely saying the same old words again, and we just have a hard time drawing aside. Some of us are distracted, and so even though we know it's vital, we still fight those battles that humans in a fallen world fight, whether it's distractions or time or whatever it is. And so I think the greatest thing for us to come away with is, you know, it is vital. And praying in color can, for many of us, be a way to kind of jump through those roadblocks of time and distraction and, you know, mechanical prayers. It's engaging. It keeps us, you know, that pencil going. We're engaged in something. Our mind's not as apt to wander. Some of us, you know, if we find we like going back to that childhood feeling of coloring, we might be more apt to make sure we're scheduling in the time to do it.
True.
It helps us to be specific. One of the things that I like about it is being able to sit down with it in one of those prayer resource sheets and make sure I'm lifting up specifics, not just those haphazard little, oh, yeah, and by the way, please, Lord, bless Logan and help him to have a good day today, you know, which really
is
so nondescript and so general and lacking in really addressing things that would help him in his maturity and his development. So I really think, for me anyway, that praying in color helps me to be more effective in my prayer life. It helps me to more effectively lift up my grandchildren, my children. My children are grown, but I pray in color for my children. It helps me, I feel, be more effective in my prayer life, in the call that God has given me to help equip them to stand in the faith. It helps me to strengthen the bonds between me and each individual child or grandchild, and the bonds of them as a family. And I know I had a lady share with me who, you know, and she came back to me and says, I am not an artist. And when you describe this to us at the workshop that she just attended, she says, I really kind of went out of here thinking, that's not something I'm going to be able to try. I'm going to concentrate on some of this other stuff. But she said she did. She thought, okay, just give it a go. And she said the difference it has made in the relationship between her and her children and the grandchildren has just been absolutely amazing. She says, she was just kind of fallen over herself at the way God has taken this and used it to bring their family closer.
And she was just going to give it a go, right? Well, I'll just give it a
go.
She
walked away thinking, cause we had a workshop where we looked at several different methods of praying for our grandkids, and she said she just kind of dismissed the praying in color and thought, I'm going to go with these other because I'm not an artist. And she thought, oh, you know, I was there. I learned, let me just give it a try. And she says she's just marveling at it. Her children, her grown children are coming to her now on their own and sharing needs that they have personally and that the family has and asking her to pray for them with these needs. And she said it's just been an impact that she never could have imagined.
And that's just, there's a perfect example of how it's strengthening the relationship that she has with her kids.
Yes.
With her children and the grandchildren.
Just, you know something Deborah, she never thought she could even do.
Exactly. Right. And here she is. She's building this relationship with them, and she's creatively expressing her prayers to God. And it sounds wonderful. It's so beautiful, Deborah. And I can't wait for our listeners to be able to find out a little bit more about what you're doing and some of the things that you are offering. So I know that you have some gifts and you have an offer for our listeners. Can you just tell us about that? What do people need to do?
Okay. We do have the book, The Praying in Color, which can be found on the product page on our website, deborahhaddix.com. It has praying in color in it, along with some other journaling ideas. But specifically, since we concentrated this session on the praying in color, and I wanted people to get a more complete picture of what it's all about, we have a booklet. It's a facilitator's guide for conducting training in praying in color. And this can be used by anyone who would like to run either an in-person 3-, 4-, 5-week session teaching other people how to pray in color for their children or their grandchildren. Or it can be used online. I know a lot of people now are doing online sessions with their clients or people that they're trying to help. And so this is available, the facilitator's guide, which contains all of the step-by-step instructions on how to conduct this online or in-person training. It gives handouts. There's a doodle sheet handout so that your participants can see the doodles. And there's homework suggested, a list of homework assignments that you could assign people between sessions, and just some extra little bonuses in this little booklet. And so the booklet can be purchased either hard copy, spiral bound, for $39.99, or it can be purchased as a download for $19.99 off of our product page. We also have available on the product page a spiral bound or downloadable booklet of the prayer resources that we have gathered. They're the same resources that appear in the Praying with Purpose book. but it's just the resources, and they're full size, 8.5 by 11. So they're a little easier to see when you're trying to lay them there beside your prayer and look at them as you're praying. And those normally have a separate charge for the spiral and for the download. But for the month of March, for anybody who has participated in the TeleSummit, the conference, we are giving a code, and all the details are available there on the site. But if you go to the product page during the month of March, you can purchase either one, the $39.99 Spiral Facilitator's Guide or the $19.99 Download Facilitator's Guide. It doesn't matter which one. And you can enter the code JW, I'm losing my letters there, but it's on the website, and you can receive the downloadable prayer resources, the complete document, for free as a bonus, so that you have that.
Wow, what a wonderful gift, a wonderful opportunity. I know, now I've told you this before, Deborah, I am downloading it. Well, I'm not sure if I'm getting the download or the hard copy yet, but anyway,
you can decide. Yes,
I am definitely going to do this, and I, you know, I'm getting my free stuff too. So, Deborah, I want to thank you so much. This has been wonderful. It's been a great opportunity to speak with you again. I love talking with you. You're so creative. You have all these wonderful ideas that, you know, that we can use to just enhance our relationship with God and with our children and grandchildren, and I love it. I mean, so many of us need that. And we need the permission to be, just to go for it, like the woman that you talked to said.
Yes.
Just go for it. Just do it. Just do it and see, you know, all the wonderful things that that God makes happen for you.
And that is sometimes hard for some of us, but we need to let go. You are right. We just need to do it. Just step out. Nobody has to see that drawing, especially the first one. Just do it.
That's right. That's right. We can keep the first one to ourselves.
Exactly. And then that can stay in your journal.
That's right. Let that stay in your journal.
Exactly.
So I definitely want to thank you for joining us today, Deborah, and thank you for sharing how we can pray creatively for our children and our grandchildren.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Kathy. It's always just a delight and a treasure to share. That's the whole idea. We all need to be out there helping each other. We need to be lifting each other up and just so coming underneath our children and our grandchildren especially, but anyone in our circle. And we can do this for anyone.
That sounds great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you for your sharing.
You are welcome.
For our guest listeners, I just want to remind you that to sign in each day to hear the teachings from our other speakers. And if you haven't already done so, we'd love to have you as a member of the National Association of Christian Journal Writers. So please visit our website at www.nacjw.com. The membership is free, and we would love to have you. Thanks again.